still world champion, Joe Palooka.
In this corner, in top fighting form, coming to you every Monday through Friday at this time in thrilling, action-packed stories, America's number one hero, world's champion of boxing and of fair play, from Ham Fisher's famous comic strip, Joe Palooka. All testimony and evidence points to Joe Palooka, alias Phil Boyle, as the guilty man in the Midville Carnival murder. To make things more incriminating, Joe has left Midville to head west with his old hobo friend, Rusty. Rusty picks out the name of Harold Manshevsky for Joe to use, and the two of them head for Zinktown, where Rusty intends to find Joe some interesting work in the mines. In just a minute, we'll present The Cave-In. But first... And now, The Cave-In. Joe and Rusty are in Zinktown, and as we join them, they're on their way to work in the mines. It's early dawn, and a red-gold haze climbs over the ridge of the Colorado Mountain.
Gosh, this is certainly beautiful country, Rusty. I'd have come out here just for the trip, even if there weren't a little charge of murder on my head.
Oh, don't you worry about that, Phil. Harold.
Gee, you should remember the name, Rusty. You picked it out for me yourself. Harold Manshevsky.
Of course. That was the name of an old friend of mine who was out in Zinktown with me long ago.
You were saying that I didn't have to worry.
Oh, yes. Well, you really don't, Harold, because nobody in this town knows what's going on in the world outside. They just know how to mine zinc.
I was surprised to hear that you knew so much about it, Rusty.
Now, don't tell anyone about it, but I learned most of my zinc mining out of the encyclopedia. But the way I see it is, the mines are just a nice, quiet place to be and make a few bucks on the side.
What a difference, though, when you're under the ground and then up here. Look at those mountains. They're beautiful. White on top and clouds all around.
That's the Sangre de Cristo Range, Harold. Look way over there. You see that one? The one all white top, like you said? Well, that's Old Baldy. It's 14,000 feet high, nearly 3 miles up.
You know, I try to remember this when I'm down under the ground in that mine. I don't think I could be a miner very long. I like being out in the open. Wish we were farmers or something.
Oh, but we're miners. Well, here goes, Harold. Another day, another dollar.
You know, it's funny that these fellows haven't recognized you, Rusty.
Well, the populace isn't too steady around here. I mean, they come and go, and don't forget, I haven't been here for a long time.
Well, maybe it's just as well that nobody does recognize you at that, huh?
Yes, I guess it is just as well.
Hey, Rusty!
Huh?
Why, you old so-and-so!
Uh-oh, shouldn't have opened my mouth.
Where have you been all these years?
Oh, here and there, mostly there. I kind of make a joke, huh?
Ah, same old Rusty. Gosh, it's good to see you, and your friend.
Oh, Hank. Hank, this is a buddy of mine. Harold Manshevsky, Hank Grundy.
Harold Manshevsky?
Oh, this is old Manshevsky's nephew.
Well, any of Rusty's friends and Harold's relations are certainly welcome around here.
Pleased to meet you, Hank.
Yeah, and I'm pleased to meet you. Say, we could use a man like you around here. If you're anything like old Harold, you're certainly going to do all right in Zinktown. Say, where are you boys working?
Shaft 3, stope 14.
Stope?
Well, that's your cell, Manshevsky. Don't tell me you don't know what a stope is.
Oh, sure. Harold knows a stope is the underground room we're working in. Don't you, Harold?
Oh, sure. I know a stope is the underground room we're working in. Sure.
Uh-huh. So you're working in stope 14. Oh, that's bad.
What do you mean, that's bad?
Have you met Clint Emily?
Well, sure. He's the boss of our stope.
Yeah, well, he ain't my idea of much of a boss. Of course, I guess the company don't complain much.
What do you mean? Don't the men like him?
Like him? He was the guy that mined out 3 stope supports just for a lousy 6% more ore.
Stope supports?
Harold, he doesn't know too much about mining, but he comes from a good family. So I thought I'd bring him down here to get him acquainted.
Oh.
You see, Harold, when you mine the ore out of a stope, you leave a few pillars of rock standing to support the roof.
I thought they used timber for that.
No. It's cheaper to dig around the pillars and leave the rock itself there for support. You only lose about 6% of the ore by not mining away these rock pillars, and in the long run, this proves cheaper and safer than buying timber, sending it down, setting it up, and all the rest.
Clint knows this, but he had a dozen stope supports in your shaft mined away just to get that last 6% of the ore. Every time you guys go through one of those old raises that aren't reinforced, you risk your life, but good.
Well, maybe Clint plans on putting timber supports down there.
Well, he hasn't, and the men don't like it one bit. I heard a couple of the boys say they're going to strike unless something's done about it. Of course, Clint keeps promising them that timber supports are coming. But in the meantime, your lives aren't worth a plugged nickel.
Say, maybe we ought to speak to this Clint.
That won't do any good. He's a stubborn, lope-eared, brainless mule if I ever saw one. And he's a rough baby, too. Now, boys don't like him at all. But there's nobody around tough enough to do anything about it. And Clint knows it. He gets away with murder around here.
Maybe I don't want to be a miner after all.
If Clint has his way, none of us might be miners or anything else for long. Say, wait a minute. I'm going down into your shaft. I think we can figure out some way to fill in the stopes that don't have those supports.
Fill them in?
Once you mine all the ore out of a stope, Harold, it isn't a good idea just to leave that empty hole under the ground. So you pump in sand or rock and just fill her up. It's a lot safer that way because, you see, once a cave-in starts, why, it spreads, so you can't risk that empty stope's caving in.
Well, how about it? You boys just about got your stope mined out?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. I'll go down with you and take a look. I think we can figure out an easy way to fill her in. If Clint doesn't want to, we'll take it right to the management.
Why would this Clint oppose a simple precaution like that?
He wants to keep the men just mining zinc. Can't take time out for work that doesn't mean immediate profit. Personally, I think he's found a little vein of silver in the ore, and he's trying to make a pile of dough as fast as he can, and to heck with the men.
Gosh, this sounds bad, Hank.
It is, Rusty. You can always be pretty sure when Clint's in charge of a shaft, things aren't going to be as good as they're supposed to be. Emily's the sort of a guy who keeps putting off until something goes wrong.
It seems to me that if something goes wrong here, it's pretty dangerous for everyone concerned.
It is. But some of the men out here have a funny way of thinking that human lives aren't worth very much. Well, here's the lift. Hop on.
Everyone's set. Let her go.
One good thing, you boys aren't working too deep.
Deep enough in case of a cave-in. We'd be a long time down there before they'd get us out.
How many men work in your raise?
Well, we've got a continuous horizon straight through on the vein. I imagine there's a dozen men or more.
A dozen men?
Mm-hmm.
That roof's got to be reinforced.
Well, here we are, way down under.
Sub-basement, sulfides of iron, silver, tin, and zinc. Everybody out.
Same old Rusty. It's good to have you around, boy.
I just hope I'll be around a while.
Say, you boys forgot your shovels.
No, they've got us handling small power shovels in there now.
How do you like that? Power shovels. Clint must really have found some silver in the ore. He's out to mine as fast as he can. And he doesn't care whether the miners get up out of the shaft or not. I don't like this, Rusty. I don't like it at all.
I don't like it either.
Clint must be getting a commission. To heck with what happens to the men.
Pretty sure of that, Hank?
What's that?
Clint Emily himself.
That's right. In person.
Ain't that sweet?
Maybe not for you, Mr. Grundy. I happen to hear what you were saying, Hank.
Well, I'm glad you did, Clint, because I'd say it right to your face, too. This cross cut ought to be reinforced. The stopes ought to be filled in. You're needlessly risking the lives of the men.
Wait a minute. Who's the boss around here?
You are in the shaft. But as far as I'm concerned, you shouldn't be.
Why, you old broken-down tramp, I ought to stuff this shovel down your throat.
Yeah? That's because I'm telling the truth. And you know it.
So you're telling the truth. Well, I'm the boss of this shaft, and you shouldn't be down here, Grundy. Among other things, I'm going to see that you get fired.
Fired? For what?
For butting in. What's the idea of holding a workup? You've been asking for trouble for a long time, Hank, and I'm going to see that you get it.
Is that so? Well, you've been asking for trouble too, Clint. Not reinforcing your cross cuts and filling in the stopes.
Don't try to change the subject. You know you broke the rules coming down here. I've been waiting for you to step out of line, Hank. But you did, see? And the big boys are going to hear about this. So go on back up and start packing your bags.
What's that?
Sounds like a cave-in if I ever heard one.
Cave-in? There are half a dozen men back there.
Now who's going to hear about this, Clint? Come on, let's get out of here.
Rusty's promise of interesting work in the mines seems to have been an underestimation. In just a minute, we'll tell you about the next exciting episode of Joe Palooka. But first, in our next adventure, the cave-in catches up with Joe Palooka and his friends. Don't miss 50 Feet Under, the next exciting episode in the thrilling story of
champion, Joe Palooka!